Tips for Living by Renee Shafransky. Performed by Susan Bennett. Helene Westing, the woman my ex-husband had an affair with and impregnated while we were married, joined my Pilates mat class a few weeks before Thanksgiving. Let me say that again. Helene Westing, the woman my ex-husband had an affair with and impregnated while we were married, joined my Pilates mat class a few weeks before Thanksgiving. I was there first, lying on my back. Just like with my husband. Off the chart stress. My Pilates teacher had been admiring my money socks, black with green dollar signs, when I heard the door open behind me. I bought the socks, hoping to show money that it was welcome in my world, since money had made itself scarce after my divorce 3 years ago. "Cool socks, Nora," Kelly said, going from standing on her mat in front of the class to sitting on it cross-legged in one smooth move. Doubly impressive, because Kelly's center of gravity had recently shifted. She was almost 6 months along, and glowing with surging pregnancy hormones. Even her high, jet-black ponytail had developed a goddess-like sheen. It swung around gaily as she turned her head toward the door and chirped through the mic on her headset. "Welcome! You must be the person who called yesterday, Helene, right?" I tried to camouflage my gasp with a cough as Helene passed by close enough for me to smell her L'Occitane jasmine, a scent I used to wear. She stopped short and looked right at me for a second, then sniffed before smiling at Kelly and moving on. "Sorry I'm late. I misjudged the drive time." If Helene was phased, I couldn't see it. She calmly laid out her mat and followed Kelly's instructions on how to engage her core. But her presence really shook me. I could barely focus on the class. Torturous memories of Hugh's betrayal came rushing back. The strand of blonde hair on my pillowcase. Blonde. The pair of maroon lace panties balled up under my bedroom dresser. Maroon. My stomach turning at the realization that this meant Hugh must be having an affair of such passion and abandon that he'd invited his golden-haired mistress into our bed and ravished her so thoroughly she'd forgotten to put on her underwear before she left. I have to concede, there were signs that Hugh had strayed before. There were certainly signs. I found a postcard of Olympia, the reclining nude by Manet, in our mailbox after Hugh returned from teaching a painting seminar in Philadelphia. On the back, no address or signature, just a phone number and two words. "Call me." Hugh claimed he had no idea who sent the card. He threw it away. Still, I paid close attention. No noticeable change in his behavior. No trips to Philly. Nothing suspicious at all. I convinced myself he hadn't crossed the line. But afterward, I couldn't stop noticing the young women who hung on his words at parties and openings and gazed at him with moon eyes. Like I did when I was 25 and went to see his painting show in Chelsea. Hugh Walker, New York Portraits. That was the show's title. Hugh was well on his way to art stardom then. I learned from his gallery bio that he was 43 and from Virginia, and that he'd already shown his work at the Museum of Modern Art. The portraits were of his reflection in various store windows in the city's richest and poorest neighborhoods, from Tribeca to East Harlem. They were done in oil and awash in different glazes, which gave them a hazy, luminous effect. They were brilliant, I thought. The moment Hugh entered the gallery, I recognized him from his paintings. He was tall and rakish, wearing khakis and a white Oxford shirt with the sleeves rolled up. He flashed me a charming, crooked grin before walking over to the reception desk to talk to the staff. And I found myself wishing I'd put on a sexier pair of jeans that morning. Between his clothes, wavy dark hair and brown eyes, I thought he looked like Jack Kerouac in the Kerouac Wore Khakis Gap ad.